Hi, K-Watchers. It's Leanne.
Hi, everyone. It's Juliet. Welcome to the K-Watch Party.
Today, we have Popstar Academy Cat's Eye episodes 7 and 8. It's the road to the final choice. Even though we know who makes it, it's still tough to say goodbye. Justice for Emily. Let's get into it. Good morning, Juliet. How are you?
Great. It's fall.
It is.
It's officially fall.
I am in transition mode.
Oh, transitioning in which way?
Not in the usual Bay Area meaning of transition. I darkened my hair yesterday. I went from my Asian summer party girl, like almost blonde streaks and highlights. I went more brunette.
Ooh, is this something you do regularly? Like every fall you go and get it darkened?
Yeah, like I feel like I go way light for summer. And then I get tan, and so I look like I'm a Hawaiian.
Yes.
And then winter comes, and I'm like so pale, and it just looks weird. So then I darken it. So I like kind of go Elvira. But it like welcomes the new moon, the new autumn moon, you know?
New moon.
And yeah, and I just bought some wool clothing on a friends and family. So I'm just, you know, I'm like welcoming the new season. The other thing that's great about fall is it's pumpkin spice latte.
Ooh, yes.
PSL season.
Have you gotten your first PSL?
I finally got my PSL, which
it was it roasting hot that day? It probably was like 98 degrees and you got your PSL.
I've been waiting because it's been so hot. Yeah. I need a cold, crisp day to get my first PSL of the season. So I got one in the city this week and it was just perfection. It was everything I wanted.
Well, two thoughts. First, that's insane because I remember you had the first PSL last year when we were recording our first episode.
That's right.
And second thought is I have this new creamer that is pumpkin flavored.
Ooh.
And I've been using it and it just makes me so happy.
I need to get that. Is it like a half and half?
It's from Chobani.
It's from Chobani.
Chobani
okay.
has these creamers and I'm a big just half and half person because these kinds of creamers have fillers and sugar and whatever, but sometimes you just need to treat yourself and they have a cookie dough one.
Oh, good God.
That I have not tried, but people on TikTok say it's very good. There's also a pistachio, maybe hazelnut flavor that's very tasty. So sometimes when I need a treat, this is where I get my treat.
Got it. Yeah, no, I'm just black coffee
all day. Yeah, black
every
like
day.
Your soul. I used to be a black, I would pride myself on being a black coffee drinker. You know, there's the like really annoying group of people who think that drinking black coffee makes
them
pure. Like, yeah. I used to be in that cohort, but no longer. I need mine creamy and sweet sometimes.
I think it's because we're so soft in other areas of our life that by drinking black coffee, that's like the one true measure of grit these days is like, can you stomach black drip coffee? It makes me feel like a little, I get a little hair on my chest when, because I drink black coffee every day.
Do you feel soft in other areas of your life?
Oh, yes.
What?
100%.
Tell me more.
Well, like just walking around. Yesterday, I like dropped my kid off at a practice and I could park and I could walk to the very like close grocery store. But instead, I just got in my car and drove there because I was like, I got a bag and I got a tote and I got a So I just drove. Might have been like less than half a mile, you know?
So you're soft resilience wise and also soft physically.
Oh, yeah. Resiliency, I have no self-control. There was one last mango cream popsicle in our freezer. And I was like, well, there's only one, so the girls can't have it.
Because you can't split it into two.
Split it, so then I have to eat it. And I'm super full and don't need this at 11 p.m., but I ate it anyway to, like, save my children from fighting.
Yeah. I mean, that's called sacrifice.
Right.
That's good parenting. Have you heard this thing recently about the Surgeon General identifying parenting as harmful for your health?
Yeah.
And did you listen to the Daily podcast from the New York
Times
about it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I will say you're sort of out of the thick of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure day to day there's still a lot of things that you have to deal with and that you feel that you're monitoring and engaging with them, but not as much as I think I am.
Yeah, but I think they said it in the Daily podcast. It was bigger kids, bigger problems. So you think you get out of the little kid things and there's just, you're kind of free of it, but the problems become bigger. Like I have middle school stress right now, right? Yeah. And I think that's a lot of what this article was about, was like, this stress is self-induced, but because we're all looking around and saying,
my kid has to be successful, they have to do better in life than I am.
And if I can send them to private school, shouldn't I send them
right.
to private school?
Right, if I can
school?
Give them the best experience, then I should. And that manifests in ways like when kids are very young, you feel like you have to engage and be with them all the time. Or in your instance, give them every opportunity that you think will help them get to where you believe they should be.
And the article is talking about how we thought it was like socioeconomically, right? Like upper middle class thinks this way, but they're actually saying across all economic spectrums now, everybody's been trained to think this way. And so it's even more stressful when you're trying to make ends meet and you feel yeah. like you're not on the floor playing right. blocks with your kids. And I get stressed out thinking about those people being stressed out, you know?
I know, I'm the same way. And then I feel like, oh my gosh, this equity issue, and what am I doing? I'm only perpetuating things.
I know.
Well, in that vein, I've been dealing with something with my son and having a lot of internal battle around it. There are several boys in his class that are very rambunctious and cause a lot of problems and distractions, and are sent to the principal's office very frequently. One kid apparently was throwing a shoe at the principal and Ooh. Also at his teacher, and bites kids. And my son is very mild-mannered, and he is also a rule follower. He is somebody who likes to follow rules, but also wants to ensure that other people follow rules, which can probably be a very grating trait to have as a fellow first grader. But he had an incident with another kid where my son was trying to get him to listen to the teacher and do what he was supposed to do. And the other kid, in my son's word, the other kid punched him.
Ooh.
I've been tortured internally around how I respond to this. Of course, I naturally emailed the teacher and principal immediately and was like, first of all, why didn't I hear about this? Secondly, this sounds like this kid is causing a lot of trouble in the classroom. And what measures are you instituting to ensure that kids are not getting hurt? And that resulted in, you know, a big meeting with a lot of people. After having listened to the podcast, I was like, am I overbearing in this? Is this something that they just need to figure out? Where is that line? I think that's what is also tough. Now that we have this conversation going, it's like another added layer of like,
right.
am I being a helicopter parent?
Right.
Am I too involved in my kids' affairs?
Right. And we talk about grit. I'm not saying he should get punched at school, but like, back in the day, that they worked that out,
right.
you know, and there were fewer, I think, parent-teacher conferences about stuff like this. I have the same instinct as you, is to just go to the teacher about it, because sometimes the kids just don't have the words or don't have the ability
right.
to do it on their own.
And what I've concluded is that it doesn't, you know, like nice guys finish last, mm-hmm. so it's sort of like that. Like, it doesn't pay off to be good or to be someone who doesn't make a lot of noise.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know, that's my daughter the whole time. And then they'll put her in the class with the rowdy
exactly.
boys because she's so mild-mannered. And
that's
listen.
Exactly what yeah. the teacher told me yesterday. And I was quite upset about it, because she's like, well, because I'm trying to mix the mild-mannered people with some of the, you know, harder to deal with kids. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, that's shitty. So then my kid gets punished for being good.
It's a training for life, right? Like, we want to shelter our kids from being disrupted in class so they can learn. But ultimately, that's potentially just life. You have to deal with the people who don't listen and who aren't paying attention
yeah.
and not following the rules along with you. And how do you deal with that?
But, you know, my husband and I try really hard to toe that line. And we tried to be free-range parents. And mm-hmm. you know what happened this week? First of all, I have a younger daughter who's 3. She's just naturally very different from her brother.
Uh-huh.
Just was born.
She's a wild animal.
Defiant.
Yes.
Yeah, she's wild. Okay. So she goes to Montessori that your children went to, uh-huh. my son went to, all of our children just.
All these kind, gentle children.
You know, graduated with flying colors, just, you know.
Like a breeze.
Wowed all the teachers with how well they counted beans and whatnot. Okay.
Okay.
Do at Montessori, they do with whatever they want, really.
Yes.
Like, you go choose your activity. You get to do it on your own. No one is monitoring you. So she comes home. I took her to her swim class. Okay. We have a full day. She's about to get into her bed and she goes, I put a bean in my ear today. And my husband's like, oh, cool. She's like, it's still in there.
It's still in there.
And so we look. It's lodged so deep in her ear
canal.
You
can see it.
It's a black bean because they count black beans at the school and sort them.
Yes, yes.
It was so deep in her ear.
Oh, no.
And we could not get it out.
Couldn't shake it out.
We couldn't shake it out. We, you know, Koreans typically pick their ears with this ear pick. And we tried it. It was going in deeper.
But you could get deeper and deeper. Oh, no. Did you try, well, maybe she's too little, but like you could hold the nose and blow, you know, when you get the pressure out of your ears?
We had considered doing like a nose Frida type of thing out of her ear. Anyway, thankfully we have friends on the street who are ER docs. We went over to their house. The dad, the ER doc, was about to go on his
shift,
overnight shift.
Oh,
and
no.
Before he did that, he was able to get a Q-tip with super glue.
Super glue.
Set it. And then wiggle it out. It took, I think, a few tries, but he finally got it out.
So that's the ER doc strategy?
Yeah.
Super glue on a Q-tip?
In a lot of instances, they say they just send kids to the OR for that. Because it's so hard to get it out because the kids are so squirmy.
So they put them under?
They put them under. And
then they super glue?
I don't know. Yeah, they put them under and then they just get super glue. My husband actually had given the idea at first to me. He's like, what if we use glue? And I was like, you're going to pour glue into her ear? I'm so dumb.
Turns out that's what the MDs do.
Right.
Oh, dang.
So that was, you know, that's also what happens when you free range parent.
Things go in places they shouldn't be. Not that they should change the entire Montessori curriculum for your daughter, but maybe they should use like a great northern bean.
Right.
A bigger bean.
Oh, they got rid of the bean activity. I emailed them and
they
were so freaked out. They said, we've put it away for now. But the teacher, when I saw her, and she's a veteran teacher that we...
She was my daughter's teacher 10 years ago at least. Yeah.
And she's been there for 30 some years.
Yeah.
She told me a story about how one girl did that, but didn't tell anybody.
Oh, no.
And months later...
Months?
The teacher kept smelling something.
No!
And she looked in her ear and...
Oh.
The bean had sprouted. Mom. And that, so that's why I was worried about my daughter because she went swimming. And so,
that would
bloat the bean and make it larger in the ear. Anyway, it's been a very exciting parenting week for me.
And you can't blame her. She wasn't listening to you most of the day because she couldn't hear you.
Yeah, I mean, now I'm like, do you have a bean in your ear? Why aren't you listening? And I asked her because she told us that two other girls did the same thing. First, she says, but theirs fell out. And second, I said, well, whose idea was it? Of course, she says, mine.
She is a leader amongst men, that one. Yeah. As much as I say she's a wild animal, I do really admire her, your daughter. She beats to her own drum. And she, I think, has vibes of Lexi from Pop Star Academy Cat's Eye. Lexi, our queen. Long live Lexi.
Long live Lexi.
Hero.
Indeed.
Yes.
I mean, I was really impressed by someone that young to stick up for her values.
Yeah. And just like your daughter, she's like, I want a bean in my ear. And so therefore, I will have a bean in my ear.
Yeah.
And Lexi's like, I will keep my dignity. Thank you very much. I do not want to be dragged through the mud by you people.
Conversely, on the other side of this is really her dream.
Yes.
Most people, many of the girls here,
even adults.
Adults for sure would have sacrificed their own values, their dignity to get to what they wanted because they feel that like at any cost, they'll get there. Well, first, to even be able to identify what your values are, I think is impressive. And then to stand up for it in a room full of people who are quite powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Right. To just buck authority like that and just put the double middle fingers up. She is a force to be reckoned with. I think that same trait in her, while it didn't get her this particular dream,
it's going to get her.
Yeah. Far. She is going to live some other dream of hers because if you are so solid of who you are, like knowing who you are so young, it can only serve you in the future. So we had ended episode 6 knowing somebody hadn't shown up to practice for 10 days and they were in this conference room with Mitra Maleficent. But we didn't know who it was. And so we find on episode 7, it was Lexi.
Yeah.
And she basically tells us why, which is it felt gross to her.
That they were pitting the girls against each other having had formed all of these friendships and relationships and then basically giving them the tools to stab each other on, in the back.
She basically was like, you guys sold us this false bill of goods. I didn't sign up for this survival show where I'd be judged by the public and then stabbing my friends in the back. Like, she was not going to stand for these lies to her face. And so she, it sounds like she asked to be let out of the program. And it sounds like they didn't let her go. It's like some K-pop idol dungeon.
Well,
she's locked
it in. Also was interesting because I believe it was Bang Bang, Hitman Bang,
right,
who really wanted her and was shocked that she had left. And so I think they were trying to exert their power over her and
try to save her. Yeah,
try to keep her around. But hey, you can't keep somebody who's not engaged and interested.
Yeah, this conversation with Mitra, she's like, I mean, I think we've come to the mutual decision since you've missed 10 days of practice that we're, we should part ways. She's like, yeah, no, bitch. I was like, mutual? Girl rejected you a million years ago.
Yeah, I so mean, dense. You mentioned it last week. I went back to watch the reluctancy that she had even going up to grab her envelope and then the look that she gave either the camera or the whoever was back there. It was definitely a fuck you.
This defiant queen is setting an example for her peers because there's only six who make it and everybody else should be able to look at Lexi and be like, yeah, no, there's other paths in life and we can choose them. Yeah. There's nobody on TV that I have admired more than Lexi in recent past. I did really love the pep talk after the male vocal coach that's working with them in these episodes. Yes. He says, there's life beyond this place. Do not become somebody else to be the person you've always dreamed about becoming. He says, we're moving forward. We're not moving on. Like, this guy was built for this job.
Yeah, actually, many of the coaches I have loved.
Him and Missy, a lot of the coaches really offset the coldness of the execs.
Yes, exactly.
And so without them, this program would have been unbearable to watch. But these guys really humanize.
Oh my gosh, I cried a lot in these episodes.
Me too. So episode 7, everyone's looking really beat up. Everyone's just got like vacant eyes. We come back to the original villain, Manon. It sounds like she's had a bit of an awakening. Now that she's actually showing up, she's realizing everyone's talking shit about her. She didn't realize it because she wasn't around before.
Yeah.
But everyone freaking hates her. So she sits everyone down in a room. She says, I've heard some things. I'm frustrated because I've been missing practices. But others have been missing practices too. Yeah. So I just want to like hear from you guys why it is you're holding it against
me. I'm glad that it resolved nicely at the end. But I was like, what are you trying to accomplish here? Because you're kind of coming at these girls without
accountability.
Yeah, a lot of defensiveness. And what I didn't like was she put the onus on the girls at the end. She goes, well, if you notice that I'm not paying attention, can you please tell me? Because I don't want there to be misunderstanding. And I'm like, no, bitch. Why don't you tell yourself?
Yeah.
Focus on you.
What we do see in this scene is just leadership and how powerful one or two leaders can really make the group turn, right? Mm-hmm. So Sophia speaks up.
Totally.
Who they've been saying is the leader the whole time. And she gives words of encouragement. She's actually very mature about it. And I think it helps when a leader steps up.
Yeah, to set
the tone.
The tone and the bar.
Yeah, and so then everyone kind of follows and falls into place. And so really, Sophia just being so mature. All these girls.
They really are.
Are really mature. And she just steps up and is like, yeah, let's just be better. And we'll just prove yourself and like be there. And we'll put all this behind us.
Yeah.
And so I think it really was a nice resolution to that conversation. It could have gone very poorly, I think.
Yeah, it could have. And Laura also wisely says, nobody here wants to have beef. Nobody's like looking to villainize you.
Yeah.
We're all in this together.
Right.
But then Manon goes into a private interview and says, well, I have a gut feeling I'm going to be in the group.
Yeah.
I was like, see, this is why people don't like you.
I have a gut feeling, so that's why I'm going to work harder. You're like, well, you should have just kind of worked harder, even if you didn't have the goal in sight. Missy says she thinks Manon got a chip on her shoulder over this other girl's kind of thinking she's lazy. And so she wanted to prove a point to everyone so she could do it. and that's why she's working harder. This episode changed my opinion of her. Some people just need a fire under their ass and the competitive spirit to get them going, right? Like, I'm the same. I'm like, not, resiliency on my own is not my strength, but get me on a pickleball court and talk shit. Oh, I'm coming at you. So I understood Manon in that way. What did you think about Manon coming out of this?
I think the more I get to know her, the less I like her. I worry that she was motivated this round because she had the chip on her shoulder and she felt like people were talking shit and she wanted to prove them wrong. What happens later on? And I think, you know, you see the real side of people when no one's looking. And I think that was what she was showing us. However, by the end of the series and by the end of episode 8, really, I understand Manon's allure. Like, without knowing her personally, I am really attracted to watching her on the screen. I think she has amazing charisma with the camera. So that's undeniable.
Yeah. We spent a lot of episode 7 on the last week before mission 3. Lots of rehearsals, injuries, everyone's getting sick. It's definitely 2 years catching up on these girls. Mission 3, each group performs a Western song by a girl group to original choreo. We've got Demi Lovato's Confident. That group is Lara, Megan, Marquise, and Yunche. We've got Buttons by Pussycat Dolls, Celeste, Daniela, Menon, Na Young, and Sophia. And then we've got Wannabe Spice Girls, Emily, Ezrella, Uwa, and Samara.
Some great song choices.
And the original choreo is so good. This is what I've been waiting for. Like, I actually really loved episode 7. We got to see them practice.
I know. I rewinded several times just to watch them because I was really impressed. And they did such a beautiful, synchronized job with their choreography.
They look like a K-pop idol group. Yeah, we finally get to see some videos being filmed, seeing the final product. I think with fewer groups to cover, there's more space to actually see the singing and dancing come to life. I mean, like, I got chills. These performances were so good. They were all so good. Everybody does a great job. Like, everyone behind the scenes, like, even San is impressed by everybody.
Yeah, I thought even Uwa, who I haven't noticed up to this point, I was like, she's very good.
And the thing is, I think for those expert eyes, they can see that some people are definitely lacking in dancing. But for us, you and me, like, they all look amazing. Yeah, I thought they looked
fantastic.
And if you do enough 360s and zoom in and out, like, you kind of band-aid over in the weaker members.
The one person I will say did not impress me that much was Yunche. I didn't know who was that last person in the Demi Lovato group. And then I realized it was Yunche. I was like, oh, I didn't notice her. But she didn't offend me, right? She was on cue, on beat. She was with the group, but she didn't sparkle the way the other girls did.
And then do you need that in these groups?
Yeah. You kind of want someone
like a background player.
In the background a little bit, right? You see that with BTS. I mean, I'm not going to offend any of their army, but I think a few of the guys are just not as noticeable, but they help make the group cohesive.
And there's always going to be people who like that
totally
style and that vibe, the quiet kind of choreo. I think it's in, you know, literally we only know 2 K-pop groups, which is BTS and Blackpink, but in Blackpink too, right? I would say like Rosé also is more on the background side, but there are people who really love her because she is quieter. She's more of a musician. Yunche and Na Young are very interchangeable to me. That just might be my
racist.
But honestly, they look very similar.
No, Yunche has a much softer face, and I think Na Young's eyebrows are much darker and her eyes are a little bit more cat-like.
If you put those 2 girls in a lineup of 10 Korean women right now, I don't think I could pick them out. It's just racism. Wannabe is so cute and cheerful. Emily makes that group shine. Even Missy later says Wannabe is her favorite. San says they're so good they could debut like that. Which is, I think, the highest praise.
That is the highest praise. I think Emily, I mean, we don't know dancing, but when I watch Emily, oh, she is so good.
She's so good. Buttons goes viral. Goes to show in the age of viralness, the dance moves are so important. But like, you never know what's going to hit and what the public's going to take.
Well, even on TikTok, there are songs from the 90s that are, I think there was a Gwen Stefani that came back just out of nowhere. And they interviewed Gwen and she's like, I don't even know what happened.
Right.
Somebody just found the clip and people liked it.
it almost has to be like easy enough to copy, yes, but looks hard enough,
right,
that you can do it in a way where it's actually interesting. And of course, Buttons is kind of our shoe-in group, which is Daniela, Manon, and Sophia. Those three are, yeah, in Buttons together.
Right. Celeste and Nayeong are the other two.
So that's episode 7. A lot of the dancing and singing that we were hoping more of the show would be about.
And I, yes, that is another critique of the show. If they had shown more of this, more, even, I think, longer clips of the practices, that would have really drawn us closer to these people, because I felt like finally, episode 7 and 8, I had so much connection to the people. They felt like my fledglings. You know, they felt like my little girls.
I was rooting for, yeah, certain people by this, exactly, point. Exactly. Yeah.
But before we get to episode 8, they had the final evaluation between San, Missy, and
Geffen, white man.
White guy. I literally had to write white guy because I could not remember his name. I think it ended up being Chris or something. This was a telling conversation because they said that Nayeong had expressed to Missy that she wanted to be a solo artist.
Like, they were like, we need to take this into account when thinking about the group.
And then there was a part where San said in Korean something about Ua and Samara, and he was saying it in a complimentary way, but he ended the sentence with "but," and they didn't translate it that way, and they cut him off before he could finish the sentence. So that, I think, was also a signal. Mm-hmm. I really was also impressed by Marquise. She was a standout to me. She didn't have as big of a personality, but I think looks-wise, star quality-wise, to me, she's on par with Manon.
Yeah, and her dancing was pretty hot. Like, she was clicking. So we can go later into where everybody's kind of ended up since the show, but it sounds like Marquise was rumored to be debuting with a new girl group off another label called The Black Label. But it turns out they just debuted and she wasn't in it.
Oh, she wasn't in it. Yeah, there's all these rumors surrounding her. So maybe she's been in a training program with HYBE.
Yeah, it's interesting because the standouts that have made it in the top 10 are very different than the main characters that this documentary has been building up.
Right.
Like, if Marquise is going to be somebody that is actually really good,
does well,
and makes it to the top 10, but they gave her zero time.
We actually did not get to meet her at all. They interviewed her one time at the end, I think. Yeah. Other than that, we were shocked when she showed up because we were like, who is this girl?
There was no arc for her. There was no emotional connection we feel for her at the end. It was just odd the way that they set up different people that didn't really make a lasting impression on us. So episode 8 starts with, basically, we know that there's 3 eliminations coming out of mission 3. And instead of letting the robot tell us, they start with the girls calling their families. And so we hear from the girls telling their families who gets eliminated, yeah, this time. It's Nayeong, Celeste, and Ua. Those 3 are out. I'm not surprised by Celeste and Ua.
Nayeong was a surprise, but not so much because we found out that they didn't want somebody who wasn't committed to being in a girl group.
But then didn't she just debut with a girl group?
That's what I read. So
so it's all fake bullshit. It's just them making excuses to be able to kick this girl out. She was ranked 3 in votes, and Celeste was top 10.
Yeah, I mean, she sings very well.
We see a lot of the social media reaction videos. Some of the reaction videos are really good. In fact, I'd rather sometimes watch the reaction videos than the video itself. Because people just got opinions and they want to tell you about it the internet.
I was also thinking, is that what we should be doing? You know, we'll be watching a drama or whatever we're watching and then do our, oh my God.
I feel like there's a married couple who do that. I think they're Korean Americans and they
David and Hannah?
I don't know. They film themselves watching these dramas. Yes.
But I always think it must not be entertaining for people, but they have millions of views.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. Like, the voyeuristic need to watch other people watch a thing.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think it's just this feeling that you are also with them.
Right.
And people just around the world these days are quite lonely.
I don't find that couple. They don't have particularly funny reactions to things.
It's a lot of...
Yeah, I know. Omo, omo.
Speaking of being lonely, there was an article recently that a friend sent about norebangs in Korea, the karaoke rooms. They are shuttering. A lot of them are shuttering because most people now eat alone, live alone, and don't have a group of people to go out with, and hüsiks, which was the thing that you would do after work, like you would go out to dinner and be forced to drink and forced to go to the next spot, icha samcha, which is karaoke and another drinking place, that's not as common anymore because they're focusing on mental health and well-being. And so a lot of karaoke businesses are going out of business.
Oh, that's sad. You and I are keeping our local Korean norebang alive out here in our neighborhood. So now that Mission 3 is over, there's like, I don't know, some fan voting happening. Something's going back and forth. I'm not exactly sure. But they have to film a group dance. Manon, of course, is at the center at the end. I love a full group dance, all 10 of them. And I was like, man, like, I know that 10 is a lot.
But there wasn't there... One of the groups, one of the K-pop groups was 10.
Wasn't there one 17?
Oh, yeah. Were there 17 boys in it?
I feel like that's called 17 because there's 17 of them.
That's insane. It's 13 members. I don't, why are they called 17?
You know, that's very misleading, but it feels like there's 17 of them because when you watch a dance with them, you're like, oh my God, it's just like one unit. You can't even tell the difference.
Yeah, talk about not being able to distinguish, that for sure.
Yeah. So I was like, maybe they should have just made this 10. They all looked so good together. They did. And then they also are preparing for a live show where they're doing, there's three original songs. It's Girls Don't Like, which I actually thought was very catchy and I really like that one. Dirty Water. Not sure what this one's about.
That's exactly what Samara said. She's like, I don't understand what dirty water means. And I don't either. Nor do I want to know.
Seriously. All the same. And that one is a full group. And that one's a very ballady, soft, tearjerker kind of song.
So the live show, I didn't like that they made all these decisions. They didn't really explain themselves for the final six. It wasn't clear why the other four weren't chosen.
Right.
And I wish that there had been more time spent because this stage was, it was a cruel place to make this happen. In front of your family.
I know, everybody. I guess what we were spared was at least the tally of the votes. You know, they could have been really cruel, which they've been so far, which is like to show the tally, showing someone's worth up on the screen. I think also what was really tough was Emily, because they built her up so much.
She was almost the main character, I think, of this show.
And when they were doing their last evaluation of them, all the execs, everybody had something negative to say about each of the 10 girls, everybody except Emily. They were kind of like, yeah, her singing's so much better. We obviously know she can dance. Like, they loved her in Wannabe. So they kind of didn't have anything bad to say about Emily. But then when she's up on stage in front of all these voters, they know Emily needs help because the voters haven't been voting for Emily. They could have helped her out. Mitra, Geffen White Guy, and Thon. They could have picked Emily and helped the voters get her there. And they didn't. So how much of it was they actually didn't really want Emily in the group?
Right. I mean, there are theories on Reddit that I saw, and this theory kills me, but they said it's because visually she's much shorter than the other girls.
Oh, like she's just more petite.
Yeah. And visually you want everyone to be around the same height because it looks better in pictures. It just like feels cohesive.
I see.
And as a short woman, I looked her up. She's shorter than me, but I was like, that sucks. But I also kind of get it. I also think this kind of goes back to what we were saying. When you're too good at one thing, whether that's singing or dancing, you become the breakout star. Mm-hmm. And is that beneficial for the group? You sort of want everyone to be able to meld a bit together. And of course, you have somebody who has star quality like Manon, but there's nothing about her that would allow her to break out on her own. Right. Whereas someone like Emily, you're like, she is a fantastic dancer and she outshines everybody.
Yeah. And do you need someone that good at dancing in a group? You might not. So Emily gets left out. The winners, which we've known, they've already debuted, is basically everybody who I think also just knew they were going to make it. Like Sophia, Lara, Daniela. I think those girls knew they were shoo-ins. Yep. Not surprising for any of them. Yoonche, I think, you know,
they needed a Korean girl. If this is coming from a Korean company, I think they felt like they needed a Korean stake so that they could market to the Korean audience.
Yep. Megan, I think, was the dark horse. We weren't sure. It sounded like maybe Megan wasn't getting the votes everybody else was, and the public wasn't resonating with her. But the judges all love her a lot. And she has been at the top from the judges and execs' perspective this whole time. So Megan makes it, and then it's Manon. I think everybody kind of knew she had to be there. Yeah. The execs maybe reluctantly put her there, but they knew it had to be.
But you can't deny when the fans love someone.
Yep. So that's it. I mean, really, Megan's mom, she's crying at the end. Megan's mom has been living in Burbank for 2 years in a condo for her daughter's dream. I was like, if anybody should win this, it's exactly. Megan's mom.
I've been emotional this week for a lot of reasons, but watching this, man, it just all came out. I feel like I needed a good cry. Looking at Megan's mom and understanding the feeling of pouring all this energy, probably your own dreams into your own child, and seeing that be fulfilled, but also being nervous that it may not. And that, I think, encompass a lot of the tragedy and the joy of being a parent.
Yeah, that goes along with the article that we've been reading on the Daily Podcast, which is like how much of our own self-worth is wrapped up in what we've put into our children. I do have to say the live performance looked a little janky. It was like straight up on bleachers. It was like maybe four rows of bleachers. Like there were not that many people in the audience.
They made it look like it was like Crypto.com stadium, but actually it probably was a very tiny room.
Yes. My kid over the summer did like a Chinese song performance for her summer camp at a local high school auditorium. It looked better and more full than that whatever warehouse they were sitting in. It turned out the way it turned out. I think the biggest tragedy was Emily. Even Nikki was mouthing
Emily. She was mouthing, say Emily.
Yeah, when they were announcing it, you know, she's like, she said she fucking ate. I love that. Yep. Nikki is second to Lexi,
where
my freaking hero.
Where has she been? I did go on her Instagram. It looks like she got married. Oh. That's probably why she had to take a break.
And she looks like she's training and development. And I feel like the other dance instructors are more like choreo and polishing,
yes,
right,
I see.
For the group
right.
dances.
Which, by the way, I wanted to make a special corner for Sohei. I loved him so much. He also was so much heart. The girls were all crying when they were practicing that song All the Same. And he just, I don't know, I'm crying now thinking about it because he knew how to reach the girls' hearts. And I would like to see him on The Boyfriend next season.
Oh, I know. He would be so good.
I also went on his Instagram and oh my gosh, the guy is incredible. He is an incredible dancer.
Is he?
I think he was touring with Demi Lovato. He's danced for Gwen Stefani, some really big names.
So that was it for the show. Cat's Eye debuted officially in June 2024. So it's only been a few months.
And they've been on tour.
Yeah, it sounds like they're touring Asia. They debuted with a song called Debut, which I think kind of fell flat. 26 million listens as of yesterday.
That sounds like a lot to me.
I know. So maybe it's only gathered more steam since because Touch. They came out with Touch and that's their
number
one song.
Really, but I didn't know that was their song.
Meaning.
And I've heard it so much on social media. And when it clicked, I was like, what? That's incredible that their song went viral.
92 also, million listens on Spotify.
You know this is becoming real because The New Yorker just released an article about not just Cat's Eye, but about HYBE. I mean, it was about the king of K-pop, our
Bang
friend
Bang.
Bang Bang. There were so many good nuggets from that article that I want to talk about, but it's probably too much information now. But this guy Bang Bang is very smart and very calculated.
And you can tell what a control freak he is because he just comes on the camera saying like, I usually pick these last people. I don't like that. It's out of my control. He's definitely the black, dark hand that's puppeting everything going on. We think it's the three execs sitting up there, but it's actually Bang Bang in
the
background.
He's the one that's throwing the money.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think after all of that? It was a tough start.
I kind of wish the reality show took place during the actual voting of it. Like it was, if it was more real time, it would have felt like stakes were higher. Like we know who debuted
right.
from the beginning. And so there's actually no mystery and there's no suspense. So it's just really watching girls just get beat down by these executives and the public. And so I don't know. I mean, it's definitely a commentary on the industry. And I found it interesting at the end. And I'm really rooting for them.
I mentioned this earlier. I really connected by episode 7. I felt so invested in all of their lives and careers that I want the best for all of them. Even Adela.
Oh, yeah.
You know, she showed up for the girls a bit at the end. And I want the best for all of them. I think they're all so talented. And it also goes to show a lot of hard work gets you places.
Yeah. So Cat's Eye seems to be off and running. They've got momentum. It seems like the other girls, Emily and Naisha, are both still dancing. It looks like off their Instagrams. Emily apparently choreographed Adela's newest song.
Right.
Naisha has gotten some ads, so that's good.
Oh.
Getting some of that hashtag yeah, ad
I
money.
I think there's so much potential, and these shows do a lot for people's careers.
Yeah, it looks like maybe Lexi and Azrella are back at it. They're maybe doing something together. Lexi's been doing some modeling in Sweden. Ilya is still posting stuff on TikTok and IG. So yeah, you know, everyone just moved on with their lives. And
that was also a big lesson for these girls at this age, that life goes on.
Really? Okay, that was it for Popstar Academy Cat's Eye.
We also need to figure out what our next show is.
Yeah. I'm sure our listeners will have opinions.
Yes. Somebody asked me at a dinner that I went to last week, how many episodes do you watch before you decide on the show? And I said, literally
zero.
We decide before we've watched, which is why sometimes we've made some not so popular decisions. But
hey, like Lexi, we're going to stick to our guns.
Yeah.
Right?
We've got values and we got dignity.
We're not going to just start one and drop one. And we're also not going to do any pre-work to help us prepare.
That's right. We don't. That's not how things fly around here.
Well, okay. So I did do a little pre-watching. I don't even know why. Oh, I was on the bus maybe. And I was like, well, maybe I should check this show out because if we do want to do it, we are really committed because it is a drama.
Is this the one that's on Amazon Prime?
Yeah, it's called No Gain, No Love. The actress, she is the long-term girlfriend of Kim Woo-bin.
Oh, Shin-mina. Oh my gosh, I love her.
I think I watched maybe like 25 minutes. It's very Lovely Runner vibes. It's not about high school.
Oh.
But it's got that kind of like same kind of production value. And it goes quickly. Like, you know, sometimes pilots drag. This one was like, it was very quick. We're getting to the point. I don't think it's necessarily just a cut and dry love story, which I think is what it turns out Love Next Door has been, which is the drama with Jung Hae-in on Netflix. That I've been kind of following that one. It feels like it's just very standard. Like kids grew up together. They fall in love, but they can't admit it to each other. There might be some cancer, you know, like there's an ex-fiancé.
Yeah, someone's taking their eye and donating it to the other.
Right. So it's just kind of standard fare.
And I don't feel compelled to watch it at all. So I'm sorry for the fans out there. So we'll put a call out to our listeners. We'll see what's resonating with you guys. Leanne and I prefer a reality show. So give us your thoughts.
I know. We need a Love is Blind Korea. Like how
oh my gosh, good that would be so good. I saw they did a Love is Blind Habibi.
I know. That's new. Oh my gosh. That's got to be so good. You need something like that in Love is Blind where there is cultural nuances and cultural like walls being put up.
Yes.
Love, which normally might not be allowed, can be allowed when you're blind. I don't know. In Korea, it would just be like where you went to school.
Where you went to school, for sure.
And your family's background and if your parents are divorced.
But Love is Blind Japan was out.
I've watched that.
So why wouldn't they do Love is Blind Korea?
Japan seems to be the forerunner in a lot of these reality shows.
All right. Well, we'll figure it out and we'll let you guys know.
Thank you guys for sticking with us through Popstar Academy Cat's Eye. Would love to hear from you guys if you agreed with where that show ended up and who Cat's Eye ended up being. We will be back next week with TBD Show. Until then, be well and we'll talk to you then.
Bye.